11. Everybody say the shout that wakes up the backslidden. You cannot fall into the trap of the doomsday mindset. Well, it's the end time, and there's an old song. I don't know if y'all ever sing it here, but here goes. Old song when I was growing up, they would sing a song, "Hold the Fort." Hallelujah. "For I am calling, Jesus, meet our need. Come and save us before we all backslide." We're not a defeated people. We have never been on the defensive. We are on the offensive. Amen. There's a whole lot more for us than that which is against us. I've come to tell you, don't you give up on the edge of your miracle. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Some of you have been praying for years for some things to come to pass. Let me just tell you what I feel. Through Jesus' entire ministry with his disciples, he kept telling them, there's a moment coming, there's a moment coming, there's a moment coming. And when the moment was about to come, it was when Jesus was about to be taken. What happens to the three closest disciples? They cannot stay awake with him 1 hour. Wow. Because weariness always sets in just before the harvest. Wow. My God. Wow. So true. It really is true. Just before how many times have I seen people walk out of the church when the person they've been praying for is on the way in? Oh, God. Help us, Lord. There's a proverb that says, "He that sleepeth during the harvest shameth his father." Let's just be logical for a minute. I like to plant a garden because I like banana peppers. I like hot banana peppers. Last year we planted watermelons because we all like watermelons. And I had a son go out every day. We planted the watermelon plant. He's 4. He was 3 then. He went out the next day to see if there's a watermelon on the plant. Every day. Let's go see if that watermelon's out there. I thought, if it doesn't produce watermelons, I'm going to go buy about 4 or 5. I'm just going to say he won't know the difference. He's 3. You don't plant, protect, weed, water, fertilize, and treat to fall asleep when the harvest comes due. But what is it that all the labor that you put in, just when it's time to receive, weariness sets upon your spirit? I know what I feel here tonight. There's an unction here. There's an expectation here. But there's also with some a weariness that is set in your spirit because you're on the edge of what you've been praying for to happen. So what do you do at this moment? You just keep on shouting. You just get up and keep on praying. You just keep on worshiping. Watch what the Lord does in your life. Come on, if you believe it, would you receive that? Would you shout amen to the word? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It is so good to be with your pastor and his wonderful family, his dear wife and their children, Brother Linder, Pastor Linder. Don't you love your pastor? What a kind, powerful preacher, a kind man. There's never been a better camp evangelist and traveled all over this country and my lands. What a blessing he was to me personally, coming and preaching in West Virginia. And that's where I got to meet Brother Brian Correggia. Did I say that with an Italian way? Correggia. He's going to have to take me out and give me a meatball before this weekend's out. It's good to see him and Sister Jill, dear friends for many years now. And their family, what great, talented people they are. Everybody in the room. If you do not know, I'm down here. I'm here preaching, but I'm down here sort of celebrating. 30 years ago, in 1987, God gave me the Holy Ghost right here at Heaven View Tabernacle. And I've still got it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "Do you still have it?" Amen. Some of the spouses in the building said, "Well, I was wondering if they had it or not." Mark chapter 11. How many want the Lord to move and touch us tonight?
Amen.
He's already moved in here. Look at this great crowd on a Wednesday night Bible study. You people love God. I can tell that right now. You love God. And the Lord wants to move in here. When he asked me to come and I began to seek the Lord about it, I feel like God gave me a specific word for this service. He knew you were going to be here before you knew you were going to be here. Mark 11 and 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied. Everybody say, a colt tied. Whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Why are you loosing the colt? Say ye, the Lord hath need of him. Amen. Somebody say this. The Lord has need of me. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. It was at a crossroads where the colt was tied. Everybody say a crossroads. Certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, saying, the Lord has needed him. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus. Isn't that the goal? Isn't that the goal, to get to Jesus? And cast their garments on him. And he, speaking of Jesus, sat upon him. Look at your neighbor and say, Jesus wants to sit upon you. Praise God. I'd like to preach to you for the next few moments on a deliverance at a crossroads. A deliverance at a crossroads. Lift your hands and I want you to ask God to speak to you tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. You know who was in the room, who was in the building. Oh God. I know that you know all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You have a plan and I'm in it. You have a purpose and I'm in it. There's a destiny and I want to be there. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you as you are seated. I wish my wife could be here, but she has preparation for a quiz tournament this weekend. And also, now that three of my children are sick with the flu, I'm glad to be in North Carolina. I feel like the Lord has set me free. I've been delivered. Amen. I've got four children, 12, 11, 8, and 4. My oldest daughter's named Lakin. My son next to her is named Sawyer. I've got another daughter named Jillian. She's 8. And my youngest son is 4, and his name's Finn. Sawyer has a dog named Tom. Go get Tom, Sawyer. So we got Finn a dog. You want to guess what his name is? Huck. We're having fun where I come from. Life, it's a joy. Oh, it really is. I think so many times that we misunderstand God, that when we talk about being lost, and the Bible says if the gospel be lost, or if the gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And I think many times our concept of I was lost but now I'm found is that he never saw me until I came to the altar. I think the concept is I was out there all alone and God never knew who I was or what I was and the family that I grew up in until came to the church and ran to the altar. But in reality, that's not true. He saw you before you ever saw him. Before you ever stepped into the church, God knew who you were. The old song says when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Jeremiah 1 says, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee and I ordained thee a prophet. Amen. When you begin to understand the concepts of God and something that we learn from the scriptures, I know we get compared to a lot of things tonight, and you get to be compared to a donkey tonight. I'm sorry, but that's where we're left at, and we'll just call it a colt if you don't mind. I think we can be compared to worse things in life, but here we find that he tells his disciples, he said, I want you to go over to this town. And he said, when you get there, this town, by Bethany here, he said, I want you to go. And he said, you're going to find a colt tied. He said, when you get there, he said, it's at a place where two ways meet. It's going to be there. And if anybody say to you, when you loose the colt, why do you do that? You tell them that the Lord has need of you. I want you to understand that God didn't see you when the preacher was preaching to you. God saw you before the preacher ever got to you. Amen. Before they ever witnessed to you on the job, before that person ever invited your family member to the church, that God knew who you were. And so it was where you were that he sent the preacher, he sent the connection, the person that knocked on your door, reached out to your family, that God was reaching for you before really you were ever reaching for him. And how many know that he knows where we are and he knows where we are at? If you believe it, would you say amen? That's why the Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Amen. I have news for you that when you were in the bar stool that God saw you. Yeah. When you were in the drug house, or you were the dishonest business person, or you just was lost in your own sin and selfishness, God saw you there. Yeah. Amen. But for God so loved the world. And the Bible also says that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. I come to tell you tonight, aren't you glad that he looked beyond all of your sin and all of your mess and all of your faults, and he saw your need for him? Can you say amen? Amen. You'll find that when the prodigal son showed up, and he showed up to the father's house. And I heard Brother Huntley preach one time. We preached it many times that I'm going to go to my father's house. But it's not what he said. He said, I go to my father. Why? Because he knew the Father would be forgiving. And how many know the only place in Scripture where you ever find the Father run was when the prodigal come back home in his muck, smelling like a pigsty, when he walked into the property and he was looking at him through the long distance, that the Father ran to him and embraced him. Why? Because he didn't have to get clean to come to him. He came to you when you were still dirty, when you were still lost, when you were not right. I come to tell you, we've got to understand that God loved us where we were, not just where we are. Would you clap your hands and thank him for his forgiving power? Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have to realize that when you look at Scripture, he told Simon Peter, he said, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. You'll find that Samson was even prophesied to Dan. Bible says that there will be a judge that will come out of Dan. Of course, that was later known as Samson. You'll find that Isaiah says that the Messiah is going to come out of a virgin womb and before it ever happened, because God does preordain things and he sees things before they are. He declares the end from the beginning. I think we live in this concept that the only way I'm ever going to have the favor of God or have the hand of God upon me is I've got to arrive into perfection. Once I get perfect and I get it all lined out, that's when God's really going to start blessing me, was when I attain. So many people in the church, they live in the constant state of not being good enough or condemned because they have imperfections in their life and they're not perfect. I come from an area where they preach that if you are not right with God, if you have anything wrong in your life, don't you come back to church. Don't you come back. So people would make a mistake and leave, and years later feeling they can never, ever come back to the house of God if they had this or had that and that. And I don't know where that mindset come from, but people were scared to come into the house because if I come into the house of God with imperfections, then God might kill me. God's against me. And so there's a slew of backsliders that were in our region that were scared to death to come to the house of God. We began to pray that God would reach for them and God would touch them, and had a prophet show up in our church, sitting on this side of the church, and he was preaching, and I was sitting on the side. He was preaching, he turned to me, and he said, I want you to write a letter everybody in the building. He said, I want you to get names of people that used to be in the church. He said, I want you to get all the names you can gather. People used to be in the house that were apostolic. And he said, I want you to write a letter. And then this letter, I want you to put it in. I'm sorry that you were offended. I'm sorry that you left and nobody contacted you. I'm sorry that whatever went wrong in your life, that you walked away from God. And for whatever reason, you're not in the house of the Lord. But we want you to know that there's a home waiting on you. Jesus is coming soon. And there's a church that will love you. There's a church that will restore you. We sent it to 150 some people. It's amazing the phone calls that I got and said, you're telling me I can come home? You're telling me I can come to church? You're telling me that I could be in there? You're telling me that God can still save me? God, because I come to tell you that there's only one good, amen. For there's none good, no, not one. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. I wish somehow tonight in this Wednesday night service we could realize that we're not all perfect in the things that we believe. We are perfecting, but we're not perfect. But God has a plan for me in spite of my past. He's got a plan for me in spite of my insecurities. He's got a plan. Somebody shout, he's got a plan for my life. Somebody say, he sees me where I am. And so people begin to gather. It's amazing in our church now. There's people in our church that were pastor's kids. Wow. Out of the church 50 years, 55 years, 35 years, 32 years is a magic number. So many people that come back to our church, 32 years, wow, begin to gather, begin to come home. You know why? Because God loved them. He hadn't come back yet. Wow. I just feel a revival in my spirit for this end time. Sure. I just feel a revival that I do not, I'm not here to try to flatter. I'm not here just to pump you up. I just want to preach my spirit. I believe there's a revival that's bigger than our buildings can contain. But I believe we got to believe for it. We've got to really pray for it. We've got to seek God for it. I believe there's a revival bigger than the building. Thank God for the building, but there's something bigger than the building. Do you believe that? I believe God's love has been shed abroad, and I believe something is really happening in this end time. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. Nehemiah in the scripture, Nehemiah 1. When Nehemiah goes and he looks at the way it used to be, and he hears of the ruins of Jerusalem. The gates have been burned and the walls have been cracked and the temple's been destroyed and the houses have been broken. It's just demolished. That Nehemiah, when he hears it, he repents. He's so broken because it's not the way it used to be. He gets on his knees and he realizes that they're in a Babylonian captivity, and he gets on his knees and he begins to repent. Oh God, forgive me and forgive my father's house. Forgive the decisions we made that have brought us to where we are. He said, God, I want to remind you that you told us that if we would transgress against you, you can't transgress unless you know the law. That's why the way of the transgressor is hard. There's a difference between sinning and transgressing. There's a lot of people in the world that are sinning, but they're not transgressing. You can't transgress unless you were saved and know the truth. He said, you said if we would transgress the law, that you would scatter us. We would be scattered. He said, but Lord, you did tell us that if we would turn to you, that though we were scattered to the uttermost part of the heavens. That's an exaggerated term. Scattered to the uttermost part of the heavens, that you would begin to gather us. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but I just need to walk in the Holy Ghost. There's some times that you feel like some of your families went too far. Saints have gone too far. But you realize all it takes is one hot revival that causes that person to turn to look at the heat, that reminds them of old Zion. And Solomon said, he said, if they just turn to look at this house, if they just turn to the direction, they don't have to come back. If they just turn, God, would you restore them? Would you gather them? Would you begin to heal? I just feel like there can be a revival of turning. There can be a revival that gets the attention, come on, of people that aren't where they need to be. A few years ago,
A few years ago, I was praying on this side of the church, and while I was praying, it was on a Saturday, I was praying, and oh, I got a hold of heaven. Begin to pray, and God spoke to me in this area of my prayer. And the Lord said to me, he said, Elijah, build a fire so hot, that it melted the stones. The Bible said it licked up the wood. How many know in 1 Corinthians 18? Or 1 Kings 18, it licked up the stone, or it licked up the wood, it licked up the water, it licked up the sacrifice. The Bible says it licked up the stones. How many know what I'm talking about? He said he built a fire so hot that it could melt the hardest of hearts. The heart, those stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel, represented their hardened heart that had turned to idolatry and the heathenism of the leadership of Jezebel. He said, but you can build an altar so hot that it can melt the hardest of hearts. And I just feel an old-fashioned prayer meeting coming on to heaven to you. I come to tell you, you can build a fire so hot that backsliders begin to turn and say, you know what? I don't belong in the bar. I don't belong not being in church. It's not right for me not to be in church on Sunday. Is there anybody here that believes that we can have a revival of backsliders? We can have a revival of a restoration? Hallelujah. There's something. Come on, I want you to stand to your feet and lift your hands and receive. There's something happening in the Holy Ghost right now. Glory! In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Turn the heart of your people again. Turn the heart of your people again. To be a revival of saints, leaders, elders, children. In the name of Jesus. Come on, believe for it and praise him for what he's going to do. Come on, build that altar hot again. Weeping over your children and your grandchildren. Your siblings and your family. God can melt their hardened heart. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, that's it for a moment. I want you to reach out. A moment I want you to take and just believe. Come on, just a moment of taking some prayer and saying, God, I believe this. I believe that you can save the lost and you can save the saint. I believe it. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, there's something in the spirit happening. There really is something moving right now. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice, bare your soul for a moment. I'm believing it. I'm believing it, oh God. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I want you to clap your hands and praise him for what he's going to do. Come on, clap your hands and shout for what he's going to do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen, amen, amen. You've got to get a burden for them. You may be seated. Simon Peter walked with the Lord, walked on the water. Healing happened through him. God did miracles through him. And yet Simon never foresaw that he would have been the one that would deny the Lord. Simon never thought that it would have been him. That matter of fact, Lord, it might be the other disciples, but it'd never be me. Simon, before the cock crows, you have denied me three times. Oh, he didn't even think it when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they come in with soldiers and Simon grabbed this sword and swung at the soldier. He wasn't trying to cut his ear off. He was trying to kill him. He was. And the Lord said, put up your sword, Simon. Put the man's ear back on his head and takes any evidence that he ever touched him with the sword. When you begin to look at the story, that there are a lot of people that had failed the Lord at crossroads. You see, life is about points. Nobody just comes in and comes to the altar and that's it. That's, you know, in the denominational world, I made a decision for Christ, they say. One decision. And it seals you to the day of redemption. Come to the altar and you pray. Or let's be apostolic for a minute. Come to the altar and you get the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues. And when you do, you never suspect that you ever be tempted. It's like the person that was on the fast came to the pastor and said, Pastor, went on the fast. I didn't know I was going to get hungry. Boy, they thought every fast was spiritual. They'd go 7 days without food and they didn't never desire a bit of bread, you know. For some of you, Diet Coke, others coffee and whatever, the holy cow that you hate to get rid of. I didn't know I was going to get hungry in the same way that the mindset is. I didn't know I'd be tempted. I didn't know that I would have this struggle. I didn't know that the enemy would come back toward me again and I would begin to deal with thoughts I never thought I would deal with again. And all of a sudden you realize that life is not about just one road. There are crossroads on that road. There's a word that we preach about a lot, and it's the word called sin. It's a three-letter word, but it means to miss the mark of your destiny. It is anything in your life that causes you to detour from that purpose. How many times have I seen young people that are doing good and got bad news about a young lady that I was in my youth group that was on fire for God, faithful, even helped me establish a church in her young adult. But I watched somebody come in her life and at the crossroads she chose him over him. Never would have dreamt that she would ever walk away out of the church. Never would have dreamt that she wouldn't be faithful to the house of God. But here a little and there a little, I watched as her heart turned from God to somebody because in her life there was a decision point that she had to make. You will be tested. You will be tried. This is not just the road of ease that you just have this guard road. And oh, there will be moments that you will have an opportunity. We're not robots and neither are we angels, but there's going to be moments that you're going to have lures in your life. The Bible says in the last day, saith God, that you're going to find in those last days, the perilous times are going to come and some shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. And oh, be careful in that day. There's temptation everywhere you go. Oh, I feel like preaching. I feel an old school revival moment in this room right now. I just feel something happening. I still believe a sin no matter who it's in. Sin will lead you to hell. Sin will destroy your life. Come on, sin will mess you up. It's Proverbs 7, sin's never too far away. You got to stay focused on the prize. You got to stay focused on the Lord. Come on, we've come to
too late to turn back now. We've come too far to turn around. Somebody's got to make your mind up. I'm going to stay in this. It's a crossroads. It's a crossroads in your life. And at this crossroads, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, talking about all things are naked open to the eyes of him with whom we have ado. To do. For we have a high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Therefore, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Everybody say our weaknesses. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Everybody say he was tempted without sin. The Bible says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. That word points, I used to feel like there was a, he was tempted in all sins, like as we are, yet without sin. But that's not what it means. There was a point in his life. There's points in your life. That there's moments in your life that you have to make decisions. And you have to make a decision. Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? See, everybody says this like this. They say, well, there was a point in my life. I don't care if you've been in church for a few months or a few years or if you've been in for decades. You will say, living for God, that there was a point in my life. There was a moment in my life that I had to make a decision. And I'm not talking about the altar that you came to the first time. I'm not talking about some years later. But there was a point in my life that this happened. The job, the Lord didn't meet my expectations. Somebody in the church offended me that I didn't get the position in the church that I thought I was going to get. And everybody has that disappointment moment. It is a point in your life. You will be tested with finances. You will be tested with morality. I want you to understand here that you will go through things before you ever get to where God wants you to get. This is just what I feel to preach. This is just what I feel to say. I was on a plane one time. I was sitting beside a pilot. He wasn't flying the plane. He was going somewhere. I was dreaming maybe that I was flying the plane, hoping they would read it. He worked for NetJet. He was just happened to be on the same flight I was on. And I looked at him, and I knew I'd been studying about the points, and I said, so do you have waypoints where you fly? He said, oh, there's safety in waypoints. Waypoints, and if you don't know this, that when you leave your departure, going to your destination, it is never a straight line. You will go here, you'll go here, and you'll go here. The reason for waypoints is to make sure that you won't have a collision with somebody else. He said you have to have these points before you ever get to your destination. You see, we're not only preparing for our purpose in this earth. There is a life beyond this life that we will rule and reign with Christ. How many believe we're in a proving ground?
That's right. Wow. That's right.
I want everybody to say this with me. You will go through things before you ever get to things. I've seen people go through great trials in life, and out of that, it was an experience that either destroyed them or made them. Yeah. How many's ever been through some things? Oh, yeah. Come on, just be honest with me. How many's ever had a point in your life?
Yeah.
Come on, some of you say, I remember a time in my life. I'm going to tell you, we've all had these moments in our life. Psalms 23 says it this way. The Bible calls it in Psalms 23, calls it the paths of the righteous. Oh, that sounds good. Until the next verse is, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. How did I end up here? How am I in the valley that looks like I'm going to die? Then you have to realize the reason I'm going through this and not just to this is because if he brought me here, he's going to take me out. But too many times when people get in moments, they don't understand God. And this is where I'm at here right now. Is there's a moment in your life you don't understand why you are where you are, why you lost your retirement, why the family expectations end up disappointed you, why things didn't go the way you thought they were going to go. And at that moment, you step back and start questioning whether God is even in your life or not. You know what you need to do in that moment? Keep your mouth shut and look up to the hills with coming your help, for your help's come from the Lord. Come on, you know you were sincere to get where you are. Now you just hold on to his unchanging hand. Somebody shout, hold on to his hand. Isaiah called it a way of holiness. But in our minds, we know the way of the transgressor is hard. But what about the paths the righteous. There's points between here and the rapture, points between here and your pastorate. There's points between here and the moment God takes you to your destiny. But I'm going to tell you what you do in those points. You have to realize at every point, God's got an elder in your life. At every point, there's a man of God that he sent to you that's giving you the answer. Church is not just about flattery. Church is not about just emotion. It's not just about routine. I believe when we're going through points that God sends a man in that pulpit and says, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what you need." Come on, is there anybody here that's glad you got a man of God that will preach? We'll preach. Hallelujah. A man of God that will preach. How many times have been said the conversation that we had in the car on the way to the church? Oh my, pastor, you preached what we were talking about on the way to church. How many's ever been in devotion the night before in the next service? The text you were reading the night before was the one the next day. Why? Because God was saying, "I know where you're at. I know where you're at. I know where you're at. And I've come here down on a Wednesday night to preach to you that God knows where you're at. You might not understand why you're going through what you're going through, but God knows where you're at. He's going to bring you out of this situation if you'll just hold on." I wish somebody would stand to your feet for a moment and say, "The Lord is going to bring me out of this. God is going to lead me out of this. God is going to lead me out of this." Come on, lift your hands in the air and love him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be seated a moment. There's a deliverance at a crossroads. But you have to make up in your mind now before you get there. I don't have to agree with God to follow him. I'm going to hold on to him no matter what's going wrong in my life. How many believe the Lord can bring you out and he can take you through? There's a preacher one time that story goes that he was struggling in his life and pulled up to a Shoney's restaurant as we used to have a lot of Shoney's back in the day, but pulled up to the Shoney's restaurant and told his wife and said, "Why don't you just take the kids going for a few minutes and I'm just going to take a few minutes alone and just to be by myself." He said he was struggling with where he was in life and said that about 10 minutes later, he knew she probably had a table and was set, that he got out in the day of payphones and walks past the payphone and the payphone rings. True story. He walks past the payphone and the payphone rings and he thought to myself, "I've never walked past a payphone that rang." Kids here say, "What's a payphone?" Yeah. He reaches and picks up the payphone. And the lady on the end of the line said, "I was praying and God gave me this number to call you and to tell you that he knows where you're at." You will never be tempted that God doesn't know where you're at. You will never be in a struggle that God doesn't know where you're at. Come on, I feel like I've come down here destined by God because I believe God has sent me to echo something in the spirit to tell you that he knows where you're at. Don't you quit on the edge of your miracle. Don't you stop when God's just taking you through something, amen, to make you stronger. Amen. You might not enjoy where you are right now, but when you come through it, you wouldn't trade that trial for anything because of what it empowers you to become. Come on, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it. Don't you give up. You just go ahead and praise him anyhow. You go ahead and shout hallelujah anyhow. There is something called spiritual jurisdiction. Once you overcome it, you get authority over it. Same way if you get healed from something, God allows an anointing to come out where there used to be pain. Yeah, yeah. You will never be used of God mightily unless he takes you through some points so he can test you and trust you in the end. Yeah. I have an engineering degree. You never use material that you haven't tested first. Yeah, that's right. Amen. You come down the altar, you were ignorant, you couldn't quote five verses, and you expect God to lay an anointing on your life and change the world. It doesn't work that way. But he takes you from this point to this point to this point to this point. Not because he's trying to hurt you, but he's trying to empower you. He's trying to give you wisdom and strength and understanding so you can help people that are going to go through what you've come through. I preach in a lot of churches as an evangelist. I evangelize, used to preach in 40 plus churches a year. But you hear me, there is something about this church tonight. There is a strength of membership. There is people here that are committed. God doesn't want you just to sit on a pew. He wants to empower you to make you a disciple, to make you a difference maker. I come to tell you that some of you have been through some trial, but there's a destiny in your future. It will not be in vain. There's an anointing coming out of your pain. There's a wisdom coming out of your suffering. Somebody shout, praise God. A lady came to our church at her daughter work in Crooksville. She came to me and she said, Pastor, she said, if you wouldn't mind, she said, if you wouldn't mind, she had just got established, actually. But before she did, she came to church, was our first. We started a daughter work, and she was our first person. My mom went and knocked on her door, invited her, and she brought her two daughters and her son to church. We had a team that went in every Sunday, afternoons at 2. She didn't know that she was the only member of the church. We had a crew coming, you know. She didn't know. She came in, gave her life to the Lord, and the kids were filled with the Holy Ghost, and just her life was an absolute mess. She was the colt tied to a post of abuse, a post of brokenness, just a post of bondage. Would you help me? You don't mind to help me, do you? You're going to be the colt tonight if you don't mind. Been tied up before, I think. It's not that he couldn't move, it's just that he could only move so far. See, this is where God saw you. And she comes to church and her life just had unraveled, and even after coming to church, just some of the things spiraled, continued. It didn't just turn around. Her salvation turned around. Her family's salvation turned around, but there were some things that spiraled down. I remember she'd come to me, and she lived in this house. It wasn't the nicest home, and she was struggling. It just come out of a horrendous, abusive relationship. And she come to me. She said, I'm going to make it, with a grit in her teeth. I'm going to make it. If I've got to live in my car and put my clothes in the back of my car, I'm going to pay my tithes, and I'm not going to miss church. If I've got to live out of a suitcase with my three kids, Pastor, I'm going to live for God no matter what I got to go through. I'm going to live for God. See, I've seen a lot of people quit when things didn't go their way right there. They just, God must not love me. I'm out of here. She said, I'm going to live for God because things had spiraled. You know, right, when she made that decision at that crossroads, when it looks like there was nothing going her way, just a little bit after she'd been in church, you know what happened? She gets this grant and sends her to college to get a counseling degree. And in the midst of going to college and being able to take care of her kids and the money started coming in, blessing her kids, that she gets a counseling degree, that she comes to me. She said, you know, Pastor, she said, would you mind if I go? You okay? All right. She said, would you mind? She said, would you mind if I go look at this class about helping people to recover that have had abortions? And I said, you know, I think it'd be fine. She went through this class and she wanted to get this training on how to, we was going to offer an abortion recovery class to our community because hurting people need God. They can be forgiven and not healed, and there's a difference. She came to me later, she said, after I went through it, she said, I just want to tell you that I had had an abortion when I was 17. She said, I've been healed. She said, I would like to maybe offer this class. The reason I went through it because I knew I was forgiven, but she said, I wasn't healed. I had all of these regrets, but God has healed me, and I believe I can help somebody now. She furthered her education, went and got a master's degree. Now she's the leading counselor over this huge center in our area that all the troubled ladies from counties all over come there to sit under her. And she, and now she and the ladies from our church now minister to them, and they're baptizing all kinds of them in Jesus' name. I just feel this tonight that you can't give up when things aren't going your way. You just got to lock your feet in and say, you know what? I'm going to stick around. I just think God's got something better for me than the world ever had for me. I just believe that God's going to do something in my life. It's so neat, Sister Linder, because Brother Jody Wells from Florida calls her and says, calls me and said, can I have the lady from your church to come out and teach our ladies? We want to get this ministry started down in Florida. That's where she had the abortion. The first place she ever teaches people how to do this is in the state where she had the abortion. You can't tell me God doesn't want to restore your past and give you healing to operate through it. Come on, I'm telling you, God knows. God cares. The Lord's going to do something here tonight if you really want to receive it. But you've got to lock in faith and say, he knows where I'm at. He knows what I'm going through. And he's not done with me, even though I don't understand him. God's going to bring a healing out of this situation that I'm in. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. And so he said, there's a colt tied over there. He said, when you go to the colt, he said, you see the colt. He said, I want you to loose the colt. He said, loose the colt. He said, and began to bring him to me. You know what? They didn't care that the preacher was near. They started talking when the preacher started loosening from what he's tied to. The devil doesn't care if you go to church, but when you start getting delivered, that's when the devil's going to start opening his mouth. Come on, do you believe he's a deliverer? Do you believe God can set people free every single service? But he didn't only come to loose you. He didn't only come to loose you. He come to lead you. He didn't want to just set you free. He's got somewhere he's going to take you to. That's why the Bible says that he didn't only bring them out of Egypt. He brought them out so he could take them in. I come to tell heaven you, he didn't just come to save you. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a destiny for your future. Would you stand to your feet and clap your hands and shout amen? Amen. Come on, stand all over this building. There's a deliverance. There's a deliverance. There's a deliverance at the crossroads in your life. He's not only setting them free. Amen. Some people come to church, remain standing. Some people come to church. And Brother Linder, they can be set free. They can be loose, but they don't want to be led.
That's it. That's right.
I've had them, as soon as they get delivered, to crack cocaine and alcohol, you think they'd be grateful. And you try to lean in the purpose. You know, I don't want anybody telling me what to do now.
Wow.
You can never end up at your destiny if you can't be led by a pastor.
Wow.
How can you follow God who you can't see if you can't follow a man who you can see? He didn't only just send the preacher to loose you from the post. He sent you a preacher to lead you to him. You can never get to him. You can never get to him if you can't be led by the man of God in your life. That's why he sends you a pastor. These people say, well, I don't need no pastor in my life. They always end up with trouble. But you give me somebody that can be led. You're going to find somebody that can be trusted by the angels and can be trusted by God. There are leaders, I could see it in the Holy Ghost, there's leaders all over this room that are being established for a greater cause than coming to church and just celebrating what God set you free from. Now God's going to use you to help deliver other people from what God brought you through. That's what he's wanting to do in Heaven View. Amen. Thank you for giving me liberty to preach, but that's what I feel. I feel greater things are yet to come in this city. I feel greater things are yet to come. Somebody shout, greater things are yet to come. Would you clap your hands and shout to the Lord right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. How many of you have been going through some things? Come on, how many of you have had some moments in your life that you didn't understand why? Anybody ever been disappointed on that journey with God? Why am I here? And the Lord said, because I'm going to teach you something here that's going to empower you tomorrow. There's been some things I hated when I was going through it, but when I got through it, I looked back and thought, I'm a better person now because I came through that. Don't stop. He didn't say, I'm going to lead you to the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I'm going to take you through the valley of the shadow of death. You just keep following him. You just keep walking when you don't understand. I promise you will come through that moment.
Hallelujah.
There is healing in this room tonight.
That's right. That's right.
I'm trying not to preach too long because you got school tomorrow. But I just feel like God's wanting to do something this week. Who may want to be used of the Lord? I've never seen a preacher that said under me or been around me that at some point in their life they didn't go through the point of loneliness. The loneliness. Even appeals that they seem disconnected from me in moments. Disconnected. And they go through loneliness. I walked into one of our preachers, now he's a pastor. And I said, the Lord showed me that you're going through loneliness. Boy, as soon as I said it, he just squalled and cried. I said, you're so lonely. You feel so disconnected. You're ministering, but you're so disconnected. I said, God allows loneliness so you can learn his voice.
Yeah, that's right. Jesus' name.
I'm in the Holy Ghost. I feel this.
That's right. Absolutely.
Paul would have never written all those books if he hadn't been put in jail.
Yeah, that's right.
He'd been talking to people all the time. That's why every time God draws you to a place, because loneliness and a call to prayer are the same emotion.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you hear me? Loneliness and a call to prayer are the same emotion. When God's been trying to call some of you to prayer, you grab your phone and go get on social media.
Yeah, there you go.
I sound like a pastor, don't I? Man, I'm supposed to evangelizing.
That's right.
But we grab for social media. Go look and see what people's eating on Facebook.
Yeah, that's it.
Twitter and then you go off Twitter and you board yourself with Twitter. Then you get on Instagram, get on Facebook. Then you check the weather 17 times.
Yeah,
you know I'm telling you the truth.
That's right.
Pick up, call somebody, check your email or surf the internet. You do whatever you do. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's got to be a moment that we put stuff out of our life.
Hallelujah.
And say, God, I want to hear your voice. The Lord, there will be a point in your life. But you feel so disconnected. It's not because the church doesn't love you and Pastor and Sister Leonard doesn't love you. It's because God's trying to get you to hear his voice.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a still, small voice. It's just a point in your life. It won't always be that way. But don't you walk out saying, nobody cares about me. Nobody loves me. God just wants you to learn his voice.
That's right.
How many have ever been through loneliness? Anybody in the building ever been there? Because God was trying to develop you.
Praise.
I want everybody in the building to begin to gather around the front.
Oh, hallelujah.
Everybody that would, I want you to gather around the front.
Praise. Thank you.
I felt in the spirit to preach to the church.
That's awesome.
As an evangelist, I used to preach.
Awesome.
But I feel to preach to the body.
Awesome.
That's where the Lord's directed me in prayer.
Awesome.
That's what I felt before ever arrived here.
Thank you.
How many want God to prepare your heart to be to make a difference in people's lives?
Thank you for doing it.
It's not the will of God never to win anybody to the Lord. Come on, all over.